Hello, everyone, and welcome to some LFC coverage of Survivor 35. We can call this an LFC roundtable. It's a Survivor roundtable. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by the LFC. It's Brent Walgamont. How are you doing, Brent?
Hello, Taryn. I have to tell you, it's very exciting here at the Survivor LFC. Let's go to the draft board and see how everybody's doing. Oh my. Oh, well, Melissa, how are things going on your end?
This is all part of my long-term strategy, I'll have you know. This is like the long con where I let everyone go out one by one of my team, and then I'm my final one, and that one is the winner. So I'm not worried.
Considering that it's a must-win draft, you still have two chances to win. But I have to say, if you actually pick the next two people to go out one and two at the merge,
I feel like I win.
I will bow down to you. That will be like the mother of all mothers. Like, that'll be amazing.
Yeah, I feel like that's an even bigger win, you know, because I mean, who's ever done that before? Nobody. Yeah. People have won before, but they've never picked everybody who goes out first.
Yes, to refresh people's memory, we did a draft for Survivor, and we picked five people each, and it's a must-win draft. Melissa happened to pick Allie Rourke, who was the one, Alan, and she now has Devin and Desi left. So I don't know about you, Brent, but I'm thinking Melissa's chances are not looking super hot right now.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner for Brent or Taryn is what I'm feeling.
Whatever. I'm saving up my steam for Big Brother.
Okay. That's
the true important one here, you know?
See, this is rare because usually I have to wait until the end of the season to feel like, all of those people that thought my draft team sucked and Melissa's was way better. But there's three episodes in and I'm already like, shame on you, everyone.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is shocking because I really thought that my team was like, above and beyond better than everyone else's team. Like, I was like, this is going really well for me. I'm picking like the best people. All my people have a serious chance at winning. And then it was just like, boom, 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 boom. When Alan got out, I was like, all right, you know what? That's fine. That's something I already thought that was going to happen. It's fine. And then it just was like Rourke. And I was like, well, you know, not great, but you know, she was one of my bottom picks. And then it was like Allie and she's my first pick. So whatever.
Yeah. Whatever is right. Brent, I feel like you still have the headliners. You've got Ryan and Chrissy. How are you feeling about your team?
And Cole and Joe and Dr. Mike. Like, I have like all the people that have a story at this point, and you have all the invisibles. Like, that's kind of how it goes with us. So, you know, I'm happy to see where this goes, but I am very excited. It's the merge of Survivor. This is really great timing because we had decided we were going to do this before, and I'm excited that it's a merge. So let's talk about it.
Yes, there's going to be a merge. Brent, you and I are going to be in New York next week for the merge episode for the live know-it-alls. I hope that there's some people that are going to be joining us there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So yes, we are here to talk about Survivor. This most recent episode in particular, we saw Allie go home in that shocking tribal council. Did you guys think that that Allie was going there, or were you thrown off by the edit? Because I think they did a pretty decent job of throwing JP out there.
I wasn't fooled at all. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to throw shade at Rob again, because I think the last time we did a draft, I threw shade at Rob for believing the decoy boot on Survivor. But again, I'm like, really? Like, you bought this? Like, you know how Survivor is. They have to present a compelling decoy boot. In no universe are Chrissy and Ryan stupid enough to vote out JP and take somebody who is as sociable and like capable as Allie to the merge. And the things that they were saying were sort of ridiculous, like about, oh, he's a rigged physical threat. I'm like, what, is he going to win 11 challenges in a row? Like, come on, like, work with me here. And the other thing was that it wasn't just Ryan's decision. If this had been Ryan's decision, you know, maybe he pulls a boner and makes a mistake. Maybe he does that. Okay. But he needed Chrissy's vote as well in order. He's not going to go to rocks for freaking Allie. So of course he's going to do with whatever Chrissy says. And there you go.
Did you say pulls a boner? Is that an expression?
Yeah. You've never heard that before?
No.
I've never heard that. The chat room, I'm sure, will back me up on this. That's definitely a phrase, and it's not like a perverted phrase. It's just like it's a phrase.
I've heard like a boner move, but I haven't heard like
it's similar pulling up
like boneheaded, maybe like.
No, it's like Melissa said, like a bone, like a, what did you say, Melissa?
Boner move.
A boner move. Yeah, it's a boner move. Like, you know, pull the boner. Yeah,
not what I expected to be talking about. all right.
I mean, maybe like maybe pops a boner. I don't know. Pull a boner though. I don't know. Yeah.
I love that you're like, the chat room will back me up, and the first thing is, it is definitely not a phrase. Well, you know, it is now.
Yeah, you know, it is now. Yes.
And in regards to the episode of being surprised, I was spoiled for the past two episodes by my Twitter mentions, unfortunately. So
yeah, and this one was my fault.
This one was Taryn's fault because I had not gotten a chance to watch it yet. But you know what? It's fine. It does kind of take the suspense out of it, though, because then when I watch it, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like these past two episodes, I haven't really cared as much. Whereas like the previous episode, I was like, what's going to happen? What's going on? And that's probably because I was spoiled and I already knew what was going to happen. So nothing was really like drawing me in or making me like, oh boy, I can't wait to see after the commercial break or anything like that. It was just kind of like, all right, well, I already know what's happening. So see how they like lead up to it.
My point was that it takes two people to pull off a really spectacularly bad move. Like if it was just Ryan by himself, I think that, you know, emotionally he might be capable of doing that. I don't think he would, but it's possible. But in order for them to make a mistake here and vote off JP, and I do think it would have been a mistake to vote off JP here, a clear and present mistake, then both Christy and Ryan would have needed to make that. And considering that JP does exactly what Christy tells him to do, why would you get rid of him? There was no drama here for me if you're thinking logically.
Plus, wasn't Allie's argument, maybe I'm like conflating the two episodes, but wasn't Allie's argument that she's really good friends with people on the other teams, so when the merge comes, it'll be good for like her and Chrissy, which like that's not good if your partner or whatever has like other allies that she's really close with. Like it just makes you think that this other person is going to do really well once the merge hits and we'll throw you to the curb. And, you know, that's not what you want. You want to get that person out. Her argument should have been like, look, JP has a lot of connections over there. And once we get past the merge, he's going to join up with them and he's not going to be with us anymore. So, you know, take me, I'm by myself. I don't know.
Yeah, I think what was kind of convincing to me, because I wasn't really sure which way this was going to go, because I mean, looking at it from the player's perspective, I couldn't see any reason why Chrissy and Ryan would decide to take out JP over Allie. But the edit was doing, I think, a pretty decent job of faking people out, because JP, who has been pretty invisible, was all of a sudden the topic of conversation. He was he's a huge challenge competitor. He is having multiple reward challenge confessional saying, I'm the best. They can't take me out. They'll never win a challenge. Then right after the immunity challenge, he's saying, I'm feeling great. Allie is definitely going home. This is all good. And that's usually the confessional you get when it's like, things are going to turn around on this guy. So I think they did a pretty decent job of setting it up to seem like there were other potential options, even though it was a very clear vote.
Let me be clear. I was yelling at my television that you can't possibly do this. I was ready to scream and come on here tonight and tell you how bad of players they are if they actually got rid of JP and kept Allie, who is a scorned woman at this point. The one thing that Rob, if you've listened to her exit interview with Rob, and I don't know if she's addressed this in other medias, I haven't had a chance to look yet, would she have been loyal to them? I have to believe the answer is no. I don't think she ever would have stayed loyal if they would have kept her. What, Taryn, you're nodding. What did she have to say?
I'm pretty sure I saw her say that they made the correct decision, that she wasn't going to be loyal. I think she also said in relation to like, if Ryan had come to you about the Rourke plan, would you have gone along with it? And she said, probably. Which tells me maybe she wouldn't have even gone along with that if she can't even give a definitive yes after the fact. So, you know, I still think it's a huge mistake for Ryan to not come to her about Rourke. But this round in particular, I think you're absolutely correct. He had to get rid of her. There was no coming back. And I think she made that very clear when she came back from Tribal. Melissa, you agree?
Yeah, that's why it's so important when someone pisses you off to just play like, oh, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I just wish you would have told me. I would have been so cool with it. Just, you know, I just don't like that you didn't feel like you could tell me. You didn't feel comfortable with telling me, but I would have gone along with whatever you said. I have no other loyalties but you. Like, that's the way you got to play it rather than like angry and like, why wouldn't you tell me and all that. So I think that, yeah, there's really only one way you can play this. And unfortunately, it was really not played in the best way.
What I thought was funny was I saw in one of Ali's ex interviews, I'm pretty sure she said something along the lines of like, you know, I was coming back from tribal and I was thinking in my head, I know that what I'm supposed to do here is act cool and be like, ah, you got me. And like, I don't care. But then she started questioning Ryan about it and he was a little defensive. And so that made her a little defensive. And then it boiled up and she got upset and just like that, even though she knew what the right thing to do was, it just it got out of her control.
Yeah, I feel like I say this now, but like if I was in this situation, I'd be like, what the heck is going on? And I'd be crying. So yeah, I talk a big game, like an armchair quarterbacking, but I would not be able to do that.
Probably. Melissa post-tribal, I'm so frustrated.
I'm so frustrated right now. Why would you do this to me? Yeah, it would be a real bad scene. So
yes, that's probably how you were when I spoiled the episode for you, which, okay, can I just clear this up? I blame this entirely on my American Ninja Warrior co-host Lita, because Lita always complains that I never tag her in my Twitter posts about podcast shows. So I'm sitting here on Twitter about to be like, all right, promote the show tomorrow night. I'm going to tweet about it. What's a good thing to say? Oh, that Melissa's totally losing in the draft. I'll say Melissa's losing. Oh, but I can't just say Melissa. That's like subtweeting. And you know, Lita always tells me I should tag people. So like, all right, I'll tag her. I'll be nice. And then immediately after I was like, oh, she's on the West Coast.
Yeah. Oh, so you're blaming this on Lita now.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, okay. Yeah.
Just saying.
Is that what subtweeting is, when you like talk about someone but you don't include them, their tag, in the Twitter post?
Yeah. So I've been told, yes.
I do that all the time.
Also, it's as if you're subtweeting because nobody ever gets your mentions whenever you tag.
That's true. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
Even if you weren't trying to.
Yeah, right. You're constantly subtweeting.
All right. So, basically, once that happens, you know, Ali, I think, does what she can to be hey, you know, bygones are bygones. You know, I'm not mad anymore. We're repairing relationships. We're going to build a new start from this vote heading forward. And something else that she mentioned in some extra interviews was that she was actually very convinced, or at least relatively convinced, that she was going to stay. She had a conversation with Chrissy. And Chrissy seemed like they were having a great conversation, and Chrissy was telling her like, oh, I can't wait until you get to see your sister when the family visit happens. Like, it's going to be so great. And she felt this like great connection with her, and like, oh, they're not sending me home. Like, she's talking about this. And that's why she was so shocked when the votes read. You're kidding me. Wow.
Yeah, I was stunned at that. I was like, you're surprised that you were voted out after you just were like screaming at this guy 3 days ago, 2 days ago. I mean, come on. But then after hearing her exit interview, I was a little bit more informed about what was actually going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. And I mean, that's something that, I mean, it seems like this combination of Chrissy and Ryan is pretty deadly, because basically, you know, Patrick left thinking, I had a wonderful relationship with Ryan. I feel really burned by him. Ali thought she was super close with Ryan. She was like, he was my little brother out there. And he's just like stabbing people left and right. You know, I think this is like impressive on one hand, that he's able to really like get these relationships with people. But I don't know how well he's going to do in a jury vote, considering just how like close he's getting to these people and then stabbing them. And they're very mad at him when they leave. She calls him a twerp in the exit interview or whatever it is.
Please. Like, I've called you worse. Like, come on. Like, I mean, like, that's like right after the fact. Like, I think if she had like a day or two to sit on the jury, she'd be fine. I feel like that this particular character always gets away with everything if they get to a final tribal council. I don't know about you guys, but if Ryan gets to a final tribal council, I feel like write him the check. I personally feel like that it's a bit unfair that this sort of character always gets away with everything, and then certain other characters, like a Dawn character, the gal from Vanuatu, I forget her name, whatever. You know who I'm talking about. The one in the final two at Vanuatu.
Twyla?
Yes, I wanted to say Tina. Sorry, thank you. Twyla. Yeah, those kind of people never get away with anything. The people that it means something to them, you know, and then they make they care about something so much and they really care about you specifically, but then they burn you. Like, those people never get away with anything. But people like Ryan can get away with, like, you know, doing anything in the game of Survivor. And if they get to a final tribal council, I would be very, very scared of him. So I can't co-sign the whole, I'd be worried about him if he gets to the finals, because it seems like people are very forgiving of this particular type of character. By the way, I think it's amazing that every time we see a season like this, we're like, oh, there's the Cochran, or oh, there's this kind of guy. And we know who he is, and we know what he's going to give us, and we know what he's going to do. He even said it himself in the episode. He's like, I know these people all will trust me, but I think I'm a weasel.
Yeah.
And then they go far. Like, I mean, so you always think, oh, they're going to vote him off, or oh, they're going to get him this time. But no, once again, he's this kind of person in a reality game is going to go far.
Well, not to make it look like I only know how to talk about Big Brother, but it's just kind of reminding me of Paul when everyone left thinking he was their friend. And then by the time they get to the jury and he's in the final two, they're like, yeah, right, we're not voting for this guy. So it's, you know, if you barely leave with everyone thinking, yeah, but I mean, if you leave with, if everybody leaves thinking that you're their friend and you burn them, it's like, it just depends on like who's, you know, in the jury house and what they're talking about and what they're saying to each other. But, you know, there's a good chance that there's going to be some hard feelings afterwards if you really don't make it clear that like, hey, this was a game, I really like you as a person sort of thing.
I think it's also something that depends on the kind of relationship that these kinds of characters form with people. We talked about this a little bit with Josh in Big Brother 19, where a lot of people were very angry with Josh for various reasons. And I think the reason that that happens is that, you know, if Josh or Ryan or Cochran, if they're seen as lesser, like they're the nerdy person, you know, they're somebody that I've taken under my wing, or that I'm reluctantly trusting, or that like I just have some kind of disdain for because I look down on them because I feel like I'm better than them. When they get the best of you, I feel like you're extra mad most of the time. And I think that's like Cochran on his first season, they were like the most pissed off people of all time at Cochran, when he flips on his original tribe with Ozzy and them. And that's because they were like, Cochran, he doesn't even deserve to be here. We strung him along, and now he has the gall to turn on us who are better than him. And now he's in the game and we're not. That really pisses people off. So if Ryan is really approaching people like, hey, I'm the younger brother, take me under your wing, and then slides a knife in, I think that's not going to be particularly effective. I think there is a way to garner the respect of your peers when you are that archetype. And so far, from what I've seen from Ryan, it seems like the way that people are leaving, he's not doing the correct thing in terms of jury management, but we'll have to see as it goes on. What do you think, Brent?
I mean, not to throw any shade, but honey, there's no jury yet. So
that's absolutely fair.
I mean, he knows, and Ryan is aware of that. He knows that none of these people are going to the jury. He doesn't have to worry about the fact that he, you know, totally screwed over Rourke or Allie. You know, I mean, he knows that these people are not going to come back to bite him in the end. He doesn't have to worry about any sort of management along the way. I guarantee you, once he gets into a merge, I'd be surprised if he plays it exactly the same way.
Yeah. And I think, to be fair to Ryan, I think he's playing pretty well. You know, a lot of people are really coming down hard on him for the move last week with Rourke, and I will too. I think that it was a mistake to not include Allie on the Rourke vote. However, apart from that one move, it's hard to discredit Ryan for the pretty dominant position he's been in both of the tribes. Pretty immediately, where he should have been a target, he was able to use his social game with Allie to keep himself from being targeted on his original tribe. Allie had good connections with, or at least from what we were shown, with both Simone, and she knew Patrick from home. And yet she still stuck with Ryan, even though Ryan had an even closer ally with Devin, which was really just not the best move for Allie. And she continued to be loyal to Ryan up until he stabbed her in the back and then sent her home. Then he gets onto the new tribe, and he was able to utilize the advantage he got and managed to find in episode one to forge a relationship with Chrissy. And again, was immediately put in a position where there was no way he was going home on this tribe. He completely controlled his fate all the way up until the merge. We'll see how this goes for him. But I've been pretty impressed by Ryan, despite the falters here and there, including the Rourke vote. Melissa, how do you feel about all that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think that he's playing a good game so far. I mean, I also think that luck has something to do with it, that he ended up, you know, on a tribe with Chrissy and was able to explain that he, you know, was the one who gave that advantage. I mean, if you take like, if you put Devin on the team with Chrissy, then Devin gets the advantage of being able to work with Chrissy and being like, I was part of that choice to give the advantage to you. So I do think that luck is playing a huge part of it, because he gets put on a team with people who already want to work with him. But, you know, I think he's doing a good job with that. I didn't really like the Rourke move, but I'm impressed by what he's doing. Although, like, I don't know, it's just so hard for me to get past the whole, like, he's our narrator kind of thing. It just gets so frustrating and irritating to have him constantly be telling us what's going on. And I feel like I'm only hearing from him. But that's the editor's fault. That's not his fault. So I don't know. He's fine.
I think that he's doing like, okay. I do agree with you, Taryn, that I think he's doing pretty good. And aside from that one move, and I will say that even though I don't necessarily totally agree with people who are saying that that was a mistake not to tell Allie on the Rourke vote, I'm glad he didn't compound it by keeping Allie in this vote and creating another problem. The one thing that I'm actually a little bit clueless on are the people that are singing the praises of Allie. I didn't see a lot to see here from Allie's game. I'm sorry. So you're put on a 6-person tribe with somebody you knew from home and would never vote you out, and you also have a girl in Simone who'll do whatever you tell her to do. You also have Lauren, who you have a really good relationship with, and somehow you trusted the one guy in Survivor who you know not to trust. Like, she knew who Ryan was, she knew what kind of a character he was, and she still said, you know what, I'm gonna go with the fun guy, I'm gonna go with this guy over here, and I'm gonna vote off all these people who will do exactly what I'll tell them to do. So I don't understand the people that are singing Allie's praises, because from where I'm sitting, she was like, you know, the goose that laid the golden egg. She had like, you know, so much potential, and she just said, nah, I'm going to go over here and choose this instead. What do you think, Taryn?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that she really made a big mistake on her original tribe. And then, you know, I guess there wasn't really a whole lot of room for her to come back from that. Once she switches onto this tribe, I do think she's unlucky that Ryan happened to have given Chrissy that idol. I think without that, she's probably fine there, but still not in the best position, even in her original alliance, because Ryan and Devin were the core of that alliance, and she was on the outside. And I think she was always very expendable to Ryan. I think we saw that, given that he didn't even tell her about the Rourke vote. Yeah, I have to agree. I think that if we're looking at Allie as a game player, she's probably being overrated right now. I love her as a character. I do wish that she had done better. I think that there's a decent chance we're going to see her back.
Just
based on the buzz that I'm hearing. So
yeah.
I think she is the kind of player. I think that as long as she's able to look back and learn from her mistakes, I think she can come back and be a pretty decent player, especially given that she went out so early. People aren't going to be too threatened by her. So I think she might be somebody to look out for in a future season. But as far as this season goes, yeah, I wasn't super impressed. Melissa, what about you?
Yeah, I think that she made some pretty poor decisions as to who she was going to vote out and who she was going to align with. But I think that, well, the reason why I picked her first was because I think that her social game is really good. I think she's really strong socially. I think she can get along with whoever and talk with whoever and find common ground with whoever. And I was kind of relying on maybe a merge situation for her to really thrive and be able to mix and mingle and get to know other people, because I felt like the people who she was trying to align with weren't necessarily going to have her back. So, you know, it's unfortunate that this is the way it went down. But yeah, I could see her on a future season. And I do think she'd do really well, because I do think that she's very good socially, which I think is really important. I think she just needs to maybe start thinking more about who she should be aligning with and who she should be keeping around. Whereas I feel like she kind of got those people out because she was trying to keep the peace and trying not to like make any waves with the majority. So the majority is like, oh, Patrick's got to go. She's like, yeah, that's fine. Patrick's got to go. The majority is like, oh, Simone's going to go. She's like, okay, that's fine. Trying to just keep going day by day, thinking that eventually it'll all work out. And instead it's like, well, no, those were like probably your closest allies. You probably should have kept them around, because these guys are not going to be your closest allies. They're closest allies with each other. So yeah, I mean, I think in the future, she'll, She'll do well. She comes back.
Something that she said in her exit interviews was that those first couple of votes, she had the philosophy of anyone but me. And I feel like that was not the correct philosophy there. I think she played it a little too safe. She just felt like, well, I have a good relationship with Ryan. Ryan and Devin are saying this thing. Patrick seems unstable. Nobody likes Simone, and Lauren is focused on Patrick. And so she instead of trying to like wrangle those three together against Devin and Ryan, which I think she probably should have done, she decided it's just easier to just go with Ryan and Devin. I have a great relationship with Ryan. I have a good relationship with Devin. So there's nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, we see unfortunately Ryan is kind of like a shark, and she ran into the wrong kind of person on that tribe, and it comes back and bites her.
Yeah. Plus, I think she should be looking at it more like that. She has good relationships. She makes good relationships with these people so that she can use these people, rather than like, I'm making good relationships with these people so that way they want to work with me, so that way they want to use me. I think instead she should be thinking in terms of like, let me convince them that I'm their friend so that way I can do stuff with them, rather than the other way around. Cause I think she was thinking like, oh, well, he likes me, so he won't let me go. Or like, she likes me, so she won't let me go. And instead it needs to be like, she needs to be the one in charge, rather than letting other people, like trusting other people because she thinks that they like her.
Yeah. So we've seen, or I've seen a lot of people talk about Chrissy as well in regards to this decision, because this seemed to really work out for Chrissy, in terms of coming to this tribe. She manages to get rid of Rourke and now Allie, which seems to isolate Ryan and take away some of his power base. So a lot of people are saying like, oh, this is really Chrissy as the puppet master behind this. Chrissy is the real one driving this play. I'm not sure I agree. I do think it benefits her more than Ryan. However, I went back and watched the episode again, and Chrissy talks a lot about how Ryan is the person she trusts the most and she values the most as an ally, and that she's basically willing to drop JP, and that she says this in a confessional, that she and Ryan are going to together collectively decide which of the two, either JP or Allie, that they're going to vote off. I don't think that Chrissy is using Ryan as a pawn right now, but I think she recognizes that this is better for her, but I don't think that she's sort of like masterminding anything. I think she genuinely wants to take Ryan down, at least very far, if not to the very end. So I'm not sure I see this narrative that some people I've seen at least are pushing, that Chrissy is sort of like the real driving force behind things. I think it's a team from what I've seen. Brent, what do you think?
Yeah, I would probably co-sign that. I'm actually more intrigued to find out how does that relationship continue, or does it stabilize once people like Ben are brought into the picture? You know, once Emerge comes and now Chrissy has her old partner back, was Ben. How does Ben feel about Ryan? How does Chrissy feel about the fact that Devin is back in the picture and that Ryan has his old best friend in Devin? So I'm very intrigued to see how these new relationships form now that Emerge is on the horizon.
Yes, maybe Rob didn't know what he was talking about in Reno when he was saying that, like, Ben, he's got a new partner now. Chrissy, she's got a new partner. There's going to be some drama. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think that, you know, coming into this merge, we've got Chrissy and Ryan. I think they've probably bonded JP pretty well. Obviously, JP is close with Ashley. Ryan is close with Devin. So they're going to take that pair in. I think they're probably going to pretty easily take in Lauren and Ben as well. Lauren was also an original hustler, so that's what, seven people going
that's
into
seven.
This merge,
yeah.
Which and is a pretty good majority.
Let me just say that even if you don't count Lauren, there's a solid six here, and I really think that this group is the one group that's going to carry the day. I think a healer is going to be voted off unless an idol gets played the wrong way next Wednesday night, because you have four original heroes in JP, Chrissy, Ben, and Ashley, and they are all bonded together. And they, you know, look, you're going into a big merge with 12 people. You need seven to carry the day. You're going to instantly be looking for numbers. Even in the promo, Jeff was like, you know, they instantly go looking for soldiers in order to find enough votes. I mean, that's what everybody is worried about, is getting voted off. Not only that, but Ryan also has Devin. That's six people. So six people who are, I think, solidly with each other. So are you going to tell me that Dr. Mike is going to go to Rocks for somebody? You're going to tell me that Lorne is going to go to Rocks for somebody? Hell no. I mean, they're going to go with this group of six people over here. I think that's, I don't know if we, can we talk about the preview? I guess I'll talk about the preview. In the preview, Joe is saying to Cole, he's going to flip on you. I think he's talking about Dr. Mike. I really think that he's thinking that Dr. Mike is going to flip on Cole. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think that Lauren and Dr. Mike are going to go with this, Heroes and Hustlers Alliance, and Healer is probably going to be voted off on Wednesday night. What do you think, Melissa? Or Taryn.
No, if you, Taryn, if you got something.
Taryn, go.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, you know, we saw a lot about how Mike was really leaning toward taking Cole out this week. And unless that's just like foreshadowing in order to, you know, make a misdirect more likely, I think it's probably pretty solid that Mike is going to flip with Ben over to this majority alliance. Although, I mean, he has a good relationship with Jessica. That's the only thing that would hold me back from believing that that's totally true. But I think if Mike sees that the numbers are on the other side, we might see it. We might see a scenario where the hook of the episode is, you know, does Mike flip or does he try to use an idol to flip the votes or something along those lines?
And I don't mean to cut you off, but I really want to address this point too, because it's important that there are 12 people left in the game, not 13, not 11. There are an even number of people left in the game. So even if Mike is able to use an idol to successfully, you know, like if he hears who the target is and he plays an idol on that person and gets the vote to go the other way, there are still people on the other side who are, you know, in control of the game. I feel like, because at that point there would be, well, if it's, it depends on what Lauren does, I guess, but if he's in a group of everybody that I said, the Heroes and the Hustlers plus Lauren, who I consider to be a bit of a swing, and himself, that would be like eight people. And even if he uses an idol and gets one of those people off, then there's still six people that are there out of 11 people. So it's not going to be able to alter the course of the game if he plays an idol on anybody. And I feel like he's smart enough to know that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, if we do have a 7 versus 5 sort of situation, those 5 theoretically have both of the idols, which again theoretically means if you play the idol correctly twice, then you can get to a tie situation. It's not a very good outcome. And if I'm Mike and I'm faced with that decision, I'm definitely flipping over to the 8. Take out the other, you know, 4 people. Even if it's 3 people, then I'm down to like top 10 with an idol. It doesn't matter if I'm in a bad spot or top 8 with an idol. I think it's pretty likely that Mike sees that and decides to go along with that. Obviously that could cause some drama with Jessica knowing he has the idol and all of that. But what do you think?
I was going to say, I don't know, Melissa, what do you think? Because I think that Jessica is one of the people that is most likely to be voted off on Wednesday night. And the reason I say that is because you're always going to look at someone who doesn't have an idol. She wouldn't be someone who you would think would have an idol. She's also gotten a lot of screen time lately. There was the whole scene with her and Cole, like, oh, I really care about him now that he hit his head. He needs some food. You know, I mean, like, I really think that Jessica's going home on Wednesday night. I'm just saying. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm hopeful that Cole is going home.
Okay.
He was so annoying.
Yes, he is.
Although he acted like every guy I know when they're hungry. So, you know, that that makes sense.
Every guy first, you know, I was like, when he's hungry?
No, but when they're like, I need food, like, and like, okay, well, don't interrupt me and all that sort of stuff. It's like, okay, yeah, that's like every single guy I know when they want to eat food.
I say that I'm sure you agree with me, Melissa, but I never want to hear another guy on Survivor say, well, the only reason they're winning is because of me. Like, I need more food than anybody else because, you know, like my muscles are bigger. And like, if it wasn't for me, these people would be nowhere. Like, I never want to hear that on Survivor again, because JP and Cole, you both sound like pigs.
I can't handle it when people are like, but my muscles need to be fed. It's like, okay, stop it. Stop. Everybody needs food. And on Survivor, you're going to get a little scoop of rice and that's what you're going to get. And you're going to like sit down and shut up and eat it. It's so annoying when they're like, please just like, I just need more food than you guys. It's like, no, you don't. So yeah, I was very annoyed this episode. Couldn't do it. And then last episode when he, with his like eating habits, his like smacking of his lips and stuff, it's just, ugh. I'm very disappointed. I felt like he was going to be, he in his pre-season interviews, he just seemed like so sweet and nice and cool and fun. And like, I mean, maybe it's the edit, but like, he's giving them the stuff to work with. So
exactly. He's giving them the stuff to work with is right.
Yeah. And what I think is interesting is that they're trying to pull off this thing where Cole is kind of going down as far as his stocks. But Jessica, I think they're trying to keep her unaffected by this. I think we're still meant to like Jessica. We even get a line in the episode. I think Lauren said it like, oh, she's a smart girl. I don't see her living in a van with him. Like, she's better than him. You know, don't think that Jessica's bad just because Cole is bad. And Jessica even gets like an excuse for why she still likes him, like, oh, I felt so bad when he fainted and I felt so worried and it made me feel like maybe I do feel things. So I that makes me lean toward potentially Cole being the merge boot, but I think it's probably between Cole and Jessica, and I could see Jessica being another person that they're like building her up, boom, merge boot. Yeah. And Cole stays instead. I don't know if they do it twice in a row though with both Allie and Jessica. Maybe that would be a bit too much of a 1-2 punch.
I was so annoyed with Jessica because I was like, okay, finally, maybe Jessica will realize that like Cole is not a good teammate, that she should not be on his, like, hanging out with him and doing all this. And I was like, finally. And then she goes and she sits with him on the beach in the next shot. And I was just like, no.
Stigmatized.
Seriously, stop. Like, don't go with him. You need to like separate yourself because he is a sinking ship.
Can you really blame her? He's very pretty.
I couldn't do it. No way. No, after all the behavior, no, I couldn't do it.
I don't blame her.
Brett would go.
And she's a virgin too. Like, she's never been with anybody before, and she's told us that. So, like, and she's never, what, has she even kissed a guy? No, her kisses are very private. That's what she said. That was the title of the episode. Okay.
Yeah, they're very private.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, so she's like, you know, like, this is like, you know, Candyland, you know, with Cole.
I just couldn't do it, like, because after I was watching like his behavior, I like looked at his face and like I used to think he was like really attractive, but I was just like, ugh, I'm grossed out.
I have to say, they made him like, it seemed like they were wanting us to really dislike him. They made him look like such a pig with all of that lip smacking and like, I mean,
I think it's editors, like they want us to feel that way, and so I'm totally falling for the edit.
I don't understand why. I mean, I feel like he's generally a pretty nice person. So I'm like, why are you wanting us to dislike him? There has to be a reason. I feel like they're, Taryn, you're an editing kind of boy. I mean, like, don't you feel like that they're us to dislike Cole?
Yeah, for sure. Why? What's going to happen in the future that they're like really wanting us not to like root for him?
It reminds me of the John Mish edit. From Blood vs. Water 2, where he's like, he is a big character and he's kind of goofy, but he's also kind of dumb, and he makes like bad decisions. And like you kind of, I think it's worse than the John Mish edit. I think that like John was kind of likable in a weird way, where Cole is a little bit more like, he's betraying Jessica's trust. He's making bozo moves, helping Joe get idols. And now he's like gross and he wants to eat too much and he's showing his true colors.
It's just bad all around. It's like, you can't, they're not even giving him like a good strategy edit or like a good social edit or like a good behavior edit, like, or at least he's a nice guy sort of thing. It's like every aspect of it is bad.
Yeah,
because you can't say like, well, he's not really well behaved at the tribe, but you know what, he's really strategic, but he's like doing a really great job. Like, can't say that. And it's like, well, he's a dum-dum when it comes to strategy, but you know what, he's such a super guy. You can't say either of those things.
Yeah, I feel like that John Mish got the clueless edit, but Cole is getting like the doofus edit. Mm-hmm. And that's worse. You know, it's like the one you're not supposed to like.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Ben and like his reactions to everything when he's in the tribe, like to Mike catching the fish and then dropping in the fire. Ben like gives the camera a look like and then he's just constantly like making remarks about Cole, and then he comes back into the shelter and Mike is saying like, oh yeah, you missed Cole passing out. He's like, oh really? I love Ben. I think he's great.
I love him too. I didn't like him at first, but I'm really loving him now.
Also, like, we missed the episode, but the segment he got about his PTSD, I thought was fascinating and very, very interesting, and it really like touching in many ways. And it's something that I hadn't seen on Survivor before, and I was really I don't want to say happy to see it, but it was something that I was really glad that was showcased on the show. And I think it brings a new element to Survivor that we really haven't seen before.
Yeah, very cool. PTSD, like I talked to, this actually was when I talked with Dom and Colin. I actually talked, not Dom and Colin. I was the Dom for the Dom and Colin show. I talked with Colin, and this was the episode that we were talking about. I did serve in the armed forces too, but I did not have to go overseas in any combat like Ben. So I think it was really great to see something like this depicted on screen, because it's much like addiction, which I have fought my entire life. It's something that you can't see with your own eyes. You know, it's not something physical that you can look at and say, aha, you know, like I see this on the screen. PTSD was something that like was just coming about when I was in the armed forces. And like I said, I told Colin that, you know, I entered the armed forces during peacetime and I exited in wartime. And even in that short amount of time, you saw soldiers coming back overseas who were diagnosed with PTSD and had to deal with it. So it was really great to see Survivor tackle it, even for the 2.5 minutes that they did, which, by the way, felt like an eternity, because they usually don't give people an unvarnished, you know, 2.5 minutes to tell their story. But they did with Ben, and that was great.
Yeah. Joe is another big character on this tribe.
I was just please, like, oh, I was like, please don't find the idol. But the minute they showed him looking for it, I'm like, God damn it, he's going to find the idol. I was so mad. I know. Please tell me you guys are with me on this. Yeah, you don't have reactions like this to survivors. See, that's the thing about you, Taryn. You're like a robot. You're like, you don't really, you're like, eh, whatever. You know, like, who cares? Melissa, you're more with me on this. Like, you don't like Joe, do you?
No, not the biggest fan. But at the same time, I don't really have strong feelings about, like, any of the cast members at this point. Like, I feel like I did preseason, and now I'm just kind of like, I don't really have strong feelings about anyone. Like, I'm interested in specific storylines week to week, but I'm not, like, rooting for anyone over anyone else really at this point, besides the people from my draft. And
I have to respectfully disagree with you. I mean, I feel like there are only like maybe two duds in this entire cast, and ironically I feel like that they are Jessica and JP. I feel like everybody else has a bit of a chance to win the game. I mean, I'm looking at the cast, these are the people that are left in the game. We got Ben and Chrissy, Cole and Desi. I mean, these are at least fun people that, you know, I feel like I identify with them when they're on the screen. Devin is still in the game. Joe, Lauren, Dr. Mike, and Ryan. I feel like that. Well, like there's. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, to clarify, I'm not saying that I find any of them bad casting or bad or boring or anything. Okay. Like that. Like, I like them all. But the thing is that I'm not feeling super strongly one way or the other about everyone. So it's not like I'm like, oh, I don't like any of these people. They're all terrible. This is a boring season. I just like don't find myself pulling for anyone at this point.
I know that I like Ben and Chrissy. And I also know that I really had this weird fascination with Lauren. Like, I just love her, that she will just give it to you. Like, when she was like, when Cole was like, you know, don't interrupt me, I want to talk. And she was like, well, honey, you go ahead and talk until your heart's content. Like,
when he said that, I was so annoyed. Because, like, first of all, he was done talking. So it's not like he was in the middle of a sentence. He had stopped talking, and then she responded. And then he like said, I hate when people are like, don't interrupt me. It's like, we're in the middle of we're having a conversation. It's a back and forth. Don't tell me not to interrupt you. It struck a nerve. But yeah, I was very annoyed with that comment.
Stop, and
I was
glad I wanted her to like,
you know what, Taryn? That's enough. But yeah, no, I just that. Yeah, I wanted her to even say more than that. But I know you can't really when you're on Survivor. So. Yeah.
I guess that I like those people. And then I really don't like Joe and Cole. So those two people, they can say girl bye. But everyone else, I feel like, you know, I'm here for them. It's very, very, very fun. I'm excited to see what happens with this season.
Yeah. I mean, you were very passionate a couple of episodes ago about Joe and whether or not he read Ashley's face at Tribal. You were very anti-Joe.
I left angry voicemails to Rob and he didn't play them, probably because they were just swearing too much. But yeah, I was like, you guys are just crazy. Like, there's no way. Like, you know, he was always playing it for himself. I don't care if the moon and the sun came up at the same time or something. He was always, he said it in the episode subsequent to that, Taryn, where he was like, you know, hello, I've got the idol, I'm not going home, which means he's always playing it for himself. Like, I mean, there was never any question. What part of this don't you understand?
Even if he's always playing it for himself, that doesn't eliminate the possibility that he read it on Ashley's face that he was doing the right thing.
That wasn't the cause. That was just something parallel that also might have happened.
Also, like, okay, when you see in the edit Ashley's face, you can't read anything from that reaction.
He doesn't turn around.
Like, I'm also a very good facial expression reader, and she just was like sitting there. So I don't know if I really believe that. Like,
Didn't Ashley even say in the following episode, like, yeah, my face dropped. Like it was a very visible reaction.
She was trying to make it look good.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see anything. I was like, especially like, because he said that, and I went back to see like what did her face do, because I felt like I wasn't paying attention enough. So I rewound and I was like, okay, what'd she do? And there was nothing. I was like, there's no way. I don't believe him for a second.
Well, here's something about Joe. You know, he's now found two idols, and I think a lot of people, you know, we made a lot of Tony comparisons. I'm not going to bring up the Tony comparisons, but I think a lot of people are thinking like, man, Joe, he's this idol guy. He's going to be finding all these idols. I think Joe is terrible at finding idols. I think that, you know, he found the clue. I think he's just working harder than everyone else. But despite that, I think he's really bad at it, because not only did he find that first clue and not know what to do with it and needed Cole's help to figure it out, but then he gets to the new tribe, having already found the idol, knowing where it's supposed to be, and after 4 days has still not found it, needs to find the clue again, which is just the same clue, just apparently 1 foot less of a distance between the whatever it is and the idol. And that's when he can finally find Mike and Jessica, having not found the previous idol, were able to find it fine. I don't like, yeah. Joe is having a lot of trouble getting these idols. Sure, he has the most amount of them right now, but man, that was he really went through some hoops.
Yeah, I don't understand this at all. I mean, he seems to be like a pretty savvy player, and there are people that are saying that he's one of the most dangerous people left in the game. But I mean, like, I unless they showed these out of order, I have to believe that he was looking for this on the first night that he was there. Like, if you found an idol near the well, if you found an idol a specific way the first time around, and you go to a new beach, the first thing I'm going to do is go to the old hiding place and say, well, have they got theirs yet? Like, it may still be here. You know,
yeah.
And if he didn't do that right away, if it took 4 days, I am sort of aghast at that.
Yeah, I maybe it's just a lack of survivor knowledge, knowing that this is like what Ty did only very recently. But he says he's a fan. So it's like,
I mean, equally aghast that people like Devin or even people who were previously on the beach, like Alan, that they didn't find the idol themselves. Like, they've been around this beach, you know, how many times? Like, that color on the bark is something that I think would look very obvious if you walked past it. So nobody else saw this?
Yeah, and it looked like it was right off of a trail. Like, it was two trees away. Mm-hmm. You know, you go off. I mean, who knows how long those trails are, I guess. But man, if it's that close to the path, and all you need to do is walk around the tree and look at the side of it, it's a huge mark on a tree. It's hard to imagine how
I feel like you have nothing but time out there. You might as well, like, walk around. Like, if you know there are idols out there, like, maybe in the way early seasons where, you know, either there weren't idols or, like, that wasn't really a thing that people would just know to look for. Like, yeah, okay, whatever, I give them a pass. But now it's like, you know that there are idols on each beach, maybe more than one. So, like, why not just walk around and observe everything and see what's going on? See what looks a little off. See, you know, what's been misplaced or whatever. Look at weird looking trees and weird looking stumps and rocks and stuff. It's like, come on, just like, what else are you going to do out there? Just sit, like, mope around, beg for extra food? Like, come on.
Yes. It was something to note, though. You know, Joe did get this like, this sort of like touching music, family, talk about my family as I'm searching for the idol. You know, this is usually reserved. This is like what Jeremy got on Second Chances when he found his second idol. This is like a big kind of edit. This is certainly what's his name? The guy that that comped out Mike Holloway. He got this montage. This is usually a good sign, but I don't know. I just don't see it with Joe. I don't see him winning this game. I think he's in a very bad spot right now. He's on the bad side of the numbers. Not only is he on the wrong side of the numbers, but even the allies that he does have, they don't seem to trust him. Desi seems to be completely willing to cut him. They seem to imply in this episode that if that tribe went to tribal, that Desi would have flipped on Joe and that Joe potentially would have gone home if he didn't play the idol. So it's hard to see Joe making his way to the end, but he seems like he's still going to be a big character. Or maybe they're just setting him up for a merge boot. What do you think, Melissa?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see him being, I see him being a bigger character. I don't feel like this is it for him. I don't feel like it's like, okay, well, now he's just going to go out quietly. I think that there's going to be way more to his story. And I think I could see him like crashing and burning and going out in a big flame. So I'm excited for that episode, but I don't really see him winning the game.
I'll be honest and tell you that I actually fast forwarded past Joe getting the idol because I was, once they started showing him looking for the idol, I was like, oh my God, he's going to find the idol. And then I was like, I don't want to see this. I don't want to hear him gloating about how fabulous he is at finding idols when it's taken him 4 days to find this idol. And at the couldn't even read the first clue himself. Like, shut up, sit down, whatever.
Yeah. Plus, I feel like for the most part, we only see like people looking for idols if they find it.
I agree.
So I feel like it's like at this point, it gets so old when you see someone like digging in the dirt and then looking under this rock and then doing this or that. And it's like, okay, come on. We know they're going to find it. Like, you wouldn't be showing this otherwise. Like, let's get past this. Like, I'd much prefer to see them like just pick it up out of the ground. Like, oh man, I got the idol. And then we can move on.
They can just cut it out entirely. Have it pop up on the bottom of the screen, like an achievement, like a bleep bloop. Idol.
Yeah. Or like one idol. News going down across the bottom.
Yeah.
It's like, also, by the way, Joe just found an idol.
Or how about this? Go ahead, do it the genius style and just don't show it at all. And then when they play it at tribal, we're all completely shocked. Like, that would be, imagine the amount of tension that you would have if you didn't know who had an idol. Like, because they have to split votes all the time. They're incredibly nervous all the time. They never know when an idol is coming. If we never knew when an idol was coming, I think that would be way more engaging.
I can co-sign that. That's a good thought there, Mr. Editor. I think that you should pass that along to the Survivor editors because I'm with Melissa. It gets really freaking old watching so people annoying. Look for idols because you know they're
especially
going to
with
find
so many
them,
idols in
especially
play.
And when they have that. When they have their own hashtag, when you see the hashtag come on the screen, girl, stop.
Yeah, yes. It's like, we already know.
I agree with you about Joe. He isn't long for this game. Second or third merge boot. And he's also a little bit bitter on social media. So I just know that he got his ass handed to him. Like, I'm so ready for it, too.
That's what everyone said about Tony.
Now we'll see.
Yes,
Tony Rob Sestanino.
Really, the only two people that we haven't talked much about, Devin and Ashley. They seem to have hooked up, so to speak. They're a very tight pair on this tribe. They're saying they would have gone to rocks for each other. I think that's very interesting, considering they just met each other a few days ago. It's moving fast.
I feel like though, here's the thing:
relationship is moving fast.
I feel like, and I say this to me. With all due love towards Devin and Ashley, who I pray are not watching me about to say this, that they're stupid enough to go to rocks like right before the merge. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they are. And I mean that in the best possible way. They're naive enough about the game of Survivor where they're stupid enough to go to rocks for each other, like in episode 6. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like that you have to have a certain amount of naivete about you in order to be willing to do that.
I agree. Okay. I think there's some merit to the idea, between the fact that, you know, Desi isn't super close with Joe. And if you provide a united front, then she will probably flip. And then also making sure that you are making it clear to the other person, like, oh, we'll totally go to rocks, but maybe you weren't really going to go to rocks. And then also it really solidifies an ally going into the merge that you might otherwise not have there. So there are some positives to it. But yeah, for sure, if you don't have if you don't know that Desi is willing to flip on Joe, and if you don't have those kinds of guarantees, then you gotta flip your vote if you need to. It's fun to to tie it once and then figure out, like, read the room. Don't be like Jessica and assume that, or don't be like Will and then assume Jessica's going to flip and then Jessica gets rocked out and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, I think you don't want to be going to Rocks right before the merge here.
Yeah, I would absolutely tell someone that I would go to Rocks for them and then have no intention of actually doing
it. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I was like, yeah. I was really hoping that Devin or Ashley, I was hoping Ashley would do this actually, if they actually had to go to Rocks, that she would tie it on the first vote. And then when Jeff says, you know, he's like, well, you guys have the option for a revote. Does anyone want to revote or change their minds? When Desi shakes her head no, I would love for Ashley to be the one to stand up and go, actually, yeah. I'd like to vote again. Devin, see ya.
Although I would not want Devin to go because he is one of my remaining people. So
it's true.
My two people.
All right. Well, do you guys have anything else that you want to bring up? We're heading into this merge. I think it's going to be exciting. I think that, you know, even like as we've laid things out, I do think that there's probably going to be a majority of seven, and I think they will run the table for a little while. But I think there's a lot of interesting dynamics within that seven between original tribe loyalty, new tribe loyalty, secret hidden immunity idol loyalty. I think there's a lot of like weird things that can come into play and that'll make for an exciting end game. What do you think?
Go ahead.
Well, I'm very excited. I always love merge episodes. I always love when like the dynamic gets switched up and when they have to interact with other people and when everything is changed. And especially because I think in the beginning, I like the different tribes because, you know, it puts them into smaller groups and allows you to get to know the people better. But I think that the merge is always way more fun to watch because you have everyone all there. You don't have to worry about like, oh, this tribe versus this tribe versus this tribe. It's just everybody's all there, mixing and mingling, and you have no idea what's going to happen, and all these alliances are formed and broken up and everything changes, and I love the merge, so I'm very excited.
What I was going to say really quickly is that I am very excited for this merge. However, if you're a fan of Ryan, I feel like he is in a bit of a tough spot. I do feel like he'll be safe at this first vote, even the next couple of votes, but considering that there are four heroes in the game, Ben and Chrissy, who have a real bond together, and also JP and Ashley, who did have a bond together, and JP at this point, to hear Allie tell about it, you know, Ryan did not have a great relationship with JP. JP's basically doing what Chrissy tells him to do. So that's four strong people from the Heroes Tribe who have a majority within this 6 or 7 person majority that we're thinking is probably going to carry the day. I worry about him going forward because he's going to quickly run out of moves. He's going to need to pull in a couple of healers eventually. He needs to make sure that whoever, here's the thing. If you're Ryan, you need to make sure that whoever you're not voting out on the opposing alliance at the merge, that the people that you aren't voting out, that you have good relationships with those people and that you tell them, you know what, you're not on the bottom. Don't worry. You know, I've got your back. Whatever you can do to guarantee their loyalty in the game, because when it comes down to it, I feel like that people like Ben are going to have more pull. I just spit all over my screen, by the way. I feel like Ben is going to have more pull with people like, you know, like the Desis and the Joes of the world, if they're still there, then you will. I feel like so it's important that he maintains good relationships with the people who aren't necessarily in the majority, but aren't necessarily being targeted by his alliance.
Yeah, solid points. So I think that's all we've got for you today. We'll probably be back. I don't know if we'll have time to do a podcast about the merge. We'll be in New York, or at least Brent and I will be. But we'll be back.
Podcast house. Yes
maybe we'll do a live podcast house.
Someone on my private group said, so podcast house is basically just like you and Taryn in a room at this point. I was like, how dare you?
it's actually quite crowded.
Yes, and I have my own room, I'll just tell you that. Me and Taryn will make sure of that.
We're going to be live in New York next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you guys come out and join us. Those things are always very fun. Come say hi. Even if I'm talking to somebody else, don't feel free to interrupt. That's totally fine.
I just want to say, if you're cute and you're a guy, make sure you take a picture with me in the center and push Taryn off to the outside. And don't give me the face crack look like what happened with that last guy.
Yeah, it happens. Thank you everyone for joining us. Make sure you check out the Taran Show. It's still going. We're releasing some great episodes. I recently released
Brent Part 2.
God. Yes.
Ooh, the long awaited.
Yes. He talked a lot about his addiction, which was a very, very interesting conversation, very enlightening, for me. And I know for a lot of other people. So, tell me about all these like responses that you've been getting.
As I was telling you, coming onto the show tonight, you and Melissa both, it's been really touching. And I say this, and I don't get very serious with you guys very often, but it's been really touching. All the people that have written me, obviously my DMs are open on Twitter. You can DM me if you want. And a lot of people have taken advantage of that, like sisters, brothers, mothers, dads, you know, people that have been touched by addiction or people that are currently going through it right now, or people that are going through, alcohol addiction or, you know, a gambling addiction, anything that, that is touching your life right now. I've got your back. I empathize with you, and you can always talk to me if you need to. Everything that you're going through, I went through. So if you need to talk, I'm always there on Twitter. You can reach me at One Lucky Gay. I'm actually on One Lucky Gay across all platforms, and it's been really great to hear from you guys. So keep it up. I like hearing the feedback.
Yeah, and the responses to these brand podcasts have been amazing. If you haven't checked them out yet, you're really missing out. So make sure you do, especially if you listen to this guy every day or every week or whatever it is, and you like Brent, you got to hear about his backstory. I also talked to Nick Iadanza from Survivor Australia, who's been doing the coverage for Survivor Australia for RHAP. He talked a lot about the death of his mother, unfortunately, to cancer. It was very touching, very heartbreaking, heartwarming at the same time. I cried. So make sure you check that one out. And hopefully.
Did you rust?
Yes. I rusted a little. You can tell, right? hopefully I'll be talking with none other than J-Mac, Johnny Mac himself from Big Brother 17, right after we finish this recording. And that will be out next week, as long as everything goes according to plan. So very fun stuff going on with the Taran Show. And make sure you check out all of the other great podcasts we have. Rob's regular Survivor coverage. Josh and Antonio are talking about Mr. Robot. They just did a Stranger Things season 2 podcast. We've got Walking Dead coverage, lots of stuff going on. So make sure you check it all out on robhasawebsite.com. And you can subscribe to this podcast through the Reality TV Rehap Ups feed on iTunes. You'll also get the Taran Show and all the other B-Team Survivor coverage. And then as well as the all the other, like The Challenge and American Ninja Warrior. And eventually Big Brother stuff will be on there again once we get into the swing of those things. So we might be coming to you with some Big Brother rankings podcasts one of these days. So keep on the lookout for that. But I want to thank everyone for joining us on this very fine night. We will see you next time.